Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, January 23rd, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Kelly Holbert. Kelly and her husband Steve and their two boys Pierce and Hayes are members of Mountain Brook Baptist. She's been a member for 15 years, and just a couple of Sundays ago, she was ordained a deacon in our church. At the end of the podcast, I want you to hear her deacon testimony, and we're also going to do a few other questions to round out the interview. But first, she'll read God's Word for us today. Thank you, Kelly, for joining us.
Thank you, Mary, for having me. Our first reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 3, verses 21 through 31. I'm reading from the New International Version. Starting in verse 21, "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement, through the shedding of His blood, to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? He is not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too. Since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through the same faith, do we then nullify the law by this faith? No, not at all. Rather, we uphold the law." Our second passage is Psalm 13. "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for He has been good to me."
Thank you so much, Kelly, for joining the podcast and reading so beautifully for us. We're going to listen to your deacon testimony as a group. If you were here that Sunday, it'll just bless you again just to hear Kelly's story of how she came to faith and how the Lord has sustained her through life. And then at the end, we're going to do a few questions together.
Good morning. As Wayne said, I'm Kelly Holbert, and I'm humbled to be considered to serve in this capacity for the church. I ask for your prayers. I ask for the prayers for all the deacons as we start this new year. When Wayne asked me to share my testimony, I have to be honest, it was like a deer in the headlights. I sort of said, sure, because how do you say no to Wayne Swan, right? So, anyway, I'm from Florence, Alabama, born and raised there, and my grandparents were very instrumental in, and first of all, I have to say, I'm a little nervous, so if I start, if I look down at my notes, forgive me, but anyway, my grandparents were very instrumental in my decision to follow Christ as a child, and these were my dad's parents. My mom and dad were divorced when I was five. And my dad was, for the most part, absent in my childhood and my life. And it was very painful. But my grandparents were so strong and had such strong faith. And so they were very, very important to me. And I remained very close to them until they passed probably about 10 years ago. As a child, as I said, it was very hurtful, but, you know, I kind of felt unloved, abandoned from my dad. He had many broken and, you know, empty promises. My mom remarried later to my stepfather, who was an amazing man, wonderful father to me. He stood in, but I still kind of had that hole in my heart because you think your biological father's not around. I poured myself into academics, athletics, church activities, school activities, but every, you know, once in a while that pain would kind of bubble up. But God seemed to place people in my life, very good friends in high school and college, that drew me to him. These were friends who had solid faith, and I began to seek him more and more. I journaled, I was involved in Bible study, I had a home church in Auburn. Interestingly enough, was my pastor from Florence had moved to Opelika, the First Baptist in Opelika, and so they adopted me as their college student, and so that was, you know, very, very important to me. As I sought him, I started to feel him saying to me, "I am truly the only love. I am truly the only one that can love you like a father, and I truly am the perfect father." So post-college, and several years after starting a career in the financial industry, my mom and stepfather both died unexpectedly within 2 years of each other. So I was, as you can imagine, devastated. You see, I have a younger sister who was born with permanent cognitive impairment. So I knew at that moment my life would change forever. I would become her parent and her caretaker, which I still am today. And as he always does, I am going to get a little teary here, sorry. He always has placed people in my life. My husband. He has supported and encouraged me over all these years. He's been my strength. We have two wonderful sons. They've loved me and supported me and helped me with Aunt Carrie. God placed here a group of beautiful women, Bible study, who we encourage and pray for each other, share our concerns every week, and I'm so grateful for that. I love each of you, and I know some of you are here today. As I look back on my spiritual journey, I know that when I seek him, he's always there. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek and find me when you seek me with all your heart." We all have different hurts and concerns and disappointments, and I fail daily trying to control my own. But I know that when I seek him, he has proven that he rescues me, he revives me, he restores me. And through his resurrection, I have peace, hope, and assurance that he is the perfect father. Thanks be to God.
Kelly, I want to hear a little bit more about the Bible study and the women who have come around you that impacted your testimony.
I joined this group about 3 years ago. A lot of them were in my Sunday school class, and we meet once a week. A lot of them, we have a lot of similarities with the ages of our children, people from other cities, not necessarily grew up in Mountain Brook. And so we have a lot in common as far as that goes. We share struggles of parenting. We share concerns and struggles of aging parents. We support each other. And I feel like we've built a level of trust that we are confident that we know we're praying for each other each week. We share those prayer requests at the end of our Bible study. And we generally have a partner. We'll partner with somebody and we pray for each other that whole week. It's very humbling, but also gives you a lot of confidence that you know that someone is praying for you for those very specific needs.
Do you guys do a certain curriculum, or do you do different things at different times?
Generally, we'll work in a certain book of the Bible. We just recently finished James, and that was really a tough book. Just how direct he is, and some of the words are hard to swallow.
Was there something from your study of James that comes to the top of your mind?
I think for me, if I'm being truly honest, is taming my tongue. And sometimes words will come out I wish I could take back. But he doesn't hold it back. He talks very directly about how hurtful that can be. That's one thing. And then also just the proud and how sometimes I can be prideful and not even realize I'm being prideful. But if I sit down and I'm honest with myself, I realize I need to be more humble in certain situations.
Another thing I wanted to highlight is that once a month we have a workout group. Do we have a name? we. Don't come very often.
I know. We created a group me, and we just call it MBBC Fitness.
And once a month, usually on a Sunday, Kelly leads out in a free class. It's kind of like circuits, typically, where ladies or men, anyone, could come and be a part of that fellowship. Tell us more.
Yeah, we meet once a month, generally the first Sunday of the month, but depending on holidays and people's schedules. 2:30 in the gym or in the fitness room. We kind of use both of those areas. But it is usually a circuit type workout where we're using weights. We might be using body weight. We might throw in some jogs around the gym, all kinds of different things. But we tailor it to all levels. So I've had people from their late 20s into their 70s. We even had a couple ladies come one time that are in their 80s. And so we just try to make modifications. And it's been so fun. We fellowship, we laugh. Sometimes people just kind of barely do the workout because they're just there to have fun. And that's okay too. So it's really become a great thing that I think we all look forward to each month.
I know that you are a really engaged athlete. So you lead classes at the Y, correct?
Yes.
What are those classes?
I teach a similar class at the Y. We call it YGT. It stands for Y Group Training, which is like a circuit. We do some strength. We do some core. We do some other high intensity type things. I do that 2 days a week. And then I also, the other 2 days, I teach a spin class, which if you're not familiar what spin is, it's a cycling class, so indoor cycling class.
And you are a runner and a biker as well, correct?
Yes.
Were you always into running or biking?
I really did not get into running until college. I was a gymnast and I cheered. Tried softball, but I wasn't very good at that. But my brothers were always active, and so, yeah. And then when I was in college, I started running some and started biking a little bit, and then I kind of got the bug.
What is the connection between the physical fitness and spiritual fitness?
Well, for me, I've always been a purist running. I don't listen to music. I just run, and that is a time of prayer for me. I can really work through some things. If I have something on my heart, then when I'm running, I really do feel like God is calming me down and saying, I'm here, I can sustain you. It really does lift me up, and I feel the Lord's presence. In fact, just from that passage we read from Psalms and David talking about that, where are you, Lord? Am I always going to feel this? You know, my heart is hurting, and that really is a time where I feel God calming me down, and I do feel Him saying, I am here. David says, I trust in your unfailing love, and my heart rejoices in your salvation. And I do feel that when I'm alone running. Now, I have friends that I cycle with and all that, and that's also wonderful and uplifting. But I do feel God guiding me through those moments.
Do you have a passage of scripture that reorients you or you come back to and say often?
Yes, I love Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, which a lot of people love and lean to also. But my grandfather, that was his favorite, and I talked last Sunday about how instrumental they were in my life. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. And I love it because I do tend to lean on my own understanding a lot of times, and I really do have to lean in to the Lord and say, I know that you're in control. Please help me open my hands and give it to you.
Thank you so much, Kelly, for joining the podcast, for reading for us, and for being a deacon this year. We look forward to your ministry to the church. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Sure. Father, we just thank you so much for Mount Brook Baptist and for Mary and for Wayne and their leadership and the rest of the staff. I thank you for those that are already ordained, those of us that are starting that service. And just guide us as we begin that ministry and service here. And I just pray, please, Lord, I want to trust in you. I want to lean into you. I pray that we can hear your voice always. Even when we're leaning on our own understanding, we feel you nudging us, saying, you cannot control this, that I'm the one that is the perfect love. And I know, even though on this side of heaven, sometimes we don't understand, but we do trust and love you and trust your plan. Pray that you will, again, be with our church as we move forward and our community, and just use us in ways that maybe we don't even see coming, but all for your glory. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.